Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's not bad, but this is better. No, it isn't. It's not recording. Hang on.
Oh, sounded like Phoenix!
It wasn't like
hey, yo.
It's working.
Why
now.
Should you visit thechairshot.com? Chairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
It is another fabulous Tuesday night. We are here on The Greg DeMarco Show. My name is Greg DeMarco. You can find me all over the place at ChairShot. Greg, hopefully you're doing well, dealing with whatever you're dealing with. Things might be open. Things might be shut down. Things might be closing. Who knows? I would say who cares, but lots of people care because it's your everyday life, and I get it. But we're not going to talk about that right now. This is The Greg DeMarco Show. The Greg DeMarco Show is a proudly part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can find at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And on all of your forms of social media, at ChairShot Media is where you can find thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Now, this show is also available streaming on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, and wherever you may love to listen to your favorite podcast. So go out there, subscribe to us on your favorite platform, maybe your favorite platforms. If you got more than one platform, subscribe to us on all of them. Give us a like, give us a 5-star review. If you like the show, go out there and tell somebody about it. If you don't like the show, look, tell someone about it anyway. Let them make their own decision. That's what this world's about, right? Let them decide for themselves, listen together, give it a chance. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. I don't know. We'll still be here doing what we do. And if you're not, well, we'll miss you. Got a great show planned for everybody today. We're going to talk about pretty much a super hot topic in the world of professional wrestling. But before we do, I mean, I could talk about this topic for hours, but there's no fun in that. I'm going to bring in two wonderful, amazing human beings that you actually, two amazing human beings weren't available. So instead, I'm going to bring in Patrick and Miranda and bring them on the show. No, I'm just kidding. I've told you already they're wonderful, amazing human beings in past episodes of the show. So I can't suddenly tell you that is just you wouldn't believe me. You know better.
Nice try, though.
He is on your Twitter at Wrestling Realist. It's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist, and there is one in Patrick. For the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I mean, I've been talking to you for the past half hour, like you know.
That's true, but I was trying to keep up the illusion.
I know, right? Trying to maintain kayfabe. We do that so well in this show.
Can I have 30 seconds on the 5-star review bit?
Yeah.
So fans, I don't care if you leave a 5-star review or a 1-star review. Don't be that wishy-washy person that leaves a 3-star review and is just kind of sitting on the fence. Have an opinion. That's coming from the Wrestling Realist.
You took 20 of your 30 seconds. That's not bad.
All right. Look at that. That
was well done. You didn't even have to danger zone it. Like, you didn't even have to go with that. Like, that's good.
Permission granted. I'm glad we worked that out.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was very good. Good. I'm glad we did that. I feel good about that. If we accomplish nothing else during this show, we have accomplished the fact that no one should ever leave a 3-star review. That's what we have accomplished. So go out there. That's the quality stuff you get. So go and follow Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist. Once again, that's WrestlingRealist. You can also head on over to Instagram, because if you go to Twitter, you won't find her unless she's taking over Chairshot Media at Chairshot Media for typically an NXT takeover. You ain't finding her on Twitter because she is the Twitterless heroine. She's the queen of soft style. She is at the hashtag Miranda. There is an I in Miranda because Instagram's different than Twitter. It's Miranda Morales. I see you speaking, but I don't hear you speaking. And now I see your face. Nothing.
Your lips are moving, but we can't make out the words.
Nothing. And I know you're not. There's no audio because you would then pop up on my Google Hangouts as like the big person talking, and you're not. So she's got that look like she's on her phone. Could be sending me a text. I don't know. Here we go, Patrick O'Dowd.
Hey, I'm ready.
We go.
Nice try, though.
I mean, we're trying. We're doing this. Let's, okay. So she said, give her a second. Oh, she gone. She gone.
Oh, yep.
I will play her favorite soundbite when she's not here. That's what I'll do. What's your favorite soundbite?
There you go.
Patrick? What is your favorite soundbite?
My favorite soundbite? Honestly, you're going to love this. I love the Miz MK thing that you did for me.
Do you really? Do you love it because I made it specifically for you, or?
I think it's hilarious. Like, I think because the K thing is totally my thing.
Right.
Like, I do it all the time. Like, sure I get do. It. So I appreciate it. I feel it is a place of insulting love that it comes from. So
absolutely.
Like, I love it.
I got to find it now.
I know. I made you look for it. Right. You haven't used it in a while.
Yeah. It's when I was trying to get away from using like things that we shouldn't use. Well, it's because I moved it up probably so it'd be closer, so easier to find. And of course, it's not easier to find. So yeah, that's backfired on me, didn't it? There, it's not under Miz. It's not under the. It should be under Patrick. Oh, there it is. There it is.
Awesome!
I came to.
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Okay.
Classic.
I don't know that you've ever played it through to the
deluxe.
End.
I have. It's only 25 seconds. I think more recently I haven't.
Right?
More recently I usually play it.
Awesome!
I came to
okay.
And then I stop it just because we get to that first one. So, by the way, that voice that you just heard there, you can find on Instagram at the hashtag Miranda. It is the queen of soft style, Miranda Morales.
Hi, I got here as soon as I wanted to. So, you know, here I am.
So, earlier when you were on here for the first 10 minutes, you didn't want to be, is what you're saying. Now you actually do want to be. So we're glad.
You know, fashionably late.
That's right. To a podcast that doesn't have a specific start time because it's not live. But that's okay. Still pulled it off.
Hold on.
So it actually all worked out.
Nice try, though.
Okay, Miranda. Okay.
Awesome!
I came to.
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to.
Okay.
See, that's how I played it twice. I played two of them. So there you go. It's good shit. That is good.
Totally
good.
Worth it.
Of course. I mean, yeah, it's how could it not be?
It's my favorite soundbite.
I mean, it should be your favorite soundbite. That's how that came up, by the way, Miranda. While you were fixing your technology issues over there, I asked Patrick what his favorite soundbite was. And Well, that's what he said. I think my favorite soundbite. You got no choice, babe. I don't know, though. Now that I'm, like, playing it, like, I see other things in the list, and I'm just like, ah, I don't know.
The button bar addiction rears its ugly head.
It is. Like there's just classics that we don't use anymore.
Here comes the big dog. The big dog, Roman Reigns. The big dog. And we kick off Monday Night Raw live tonight in Phoenix, Arizona with the big dog.
So many good ones. So many.
Fuck you, Pat!
So many good ones.
That's a good one, too. I like that one.
That is a good one. That is a good
one. I just
one.
Love that I like you that have sound bites designed to insult me. Like, that's, I take that's, that as a compliment.
That's just a snippet of Adam Cole and Pat McAfee. Right.
Oh, yeah, it just happens.
Fuck you, Pat! Yeah, there
it just so happens to be listed on my thing as fuck you, Patrick. So,
right. You know, it's not what like, but let's call it what it is.
But the last four letters of your name are in parentheses. So. It actually says Pat, parentheses, Rick. Close parentheses. There's also this one.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
Patrick Redoubt, it's your turn.
I'm all nostalgic for simpler times when Baron Corbin sucked. And he still sucks.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
Miranda, do you have a favorite soundbite?
Do I have a favorite soundbite?
I mean, come on. I had to.
Look at you.
Look at you. Wow. Seriously, though, do you have a favorite soundbite?
It's your favorite soundbite.
Okay, do you have a favorite soundbite? My hands are up. I'm not pressing any buttons.
Where's the fuck you, Greg button?
I don't have one of those. I could have one now that you said it, and if I ever go back and snip that out, but... You said, but yeah. you were starting to say one.
I was. It's wild card.
Oh my goodness, that's right. How could it not be?
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
Some of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet are on that plane.
That's just so many good things.
Money plane.
All right, you know what? Let's talk. Plan. So. Yeah, the less said about money, the play better. So I got a couple personal shout-outs before we sell some shirts. And I worded it that way because that's exactly what it says on the rundown. Patrick O'Dowd, I would have done this last week, but I was too busy house hunting and so not able to do that. Peek behind the curtain, that's why there were no shows last week. It's all my fault. Hashtag Greg's fault. Last minute. Didn't work out the way I wanted it to. But we're moving, so there you go. Did work out. Bandwagon Nerds, past a year. You guys made it.
We did. We did.
It's amazing. It's impressive.
It was an arduous journey with many obstacles in front of them. Basically, no obstacles in front of us.
But the crew of people you have.
Do you count yourselves?
Yeah.
Yourselves as obstacles?
You know, our show has evolved quite a bit from episode one, as most shows do. I would say that I like the product that we're putting out now. I'm looking for more years to come, and maybe someday we'll.
Did you say four more show years? Break.
No, I said more years to come.
Oh, I thought you said four more years, and I thought you were running for to be elected the host of be reelected the host of Bandwagon Nerds.
No, no, I am. The alpha and the omega of Bandwagon Nerds. You ask anybody. Anyway, no, it was a lot of fun. We wrapped up our Marvel Villains project, and then we kicked off season two. I'm just going to do this now. with a long overdue Star Wars episode where myself and what I thought was just going to be Dave and Ungar argued over Star Wars, but it turned out to be myself, right, and the other three people on the show completely wrong and disagreeing with me the whole time.
All right. There you go. So that was the what we do at the end of the show where Patrick talks about what we'll hear on Bandwagon Earth. And I'll probably forget and ask him again. So that will do that. And then normally after she sells T-shirts, Miranda will be nice enough to then bring up ticket sales for an event called NAV 30 as Impact Zone Wrestling presents NAV 30 this Saturday night at the Sun Studios of Arizona in Tempe, Arizona. But Miranda, we don't need to do that. Why don't we need to do that? You say it. Why don't we need to do that?
Because we sold out.
We are sold out. Every ticket gone. There is no room at the inn.
Claimed, bought, taken.
Goodbye. If you want to be there and you ain't got a ticket, you ain't going to be there. Unless something crazy happens in the next couple of days, and I don't expect it to. So, yeah. Now, everyone just needs to chill the fuck out. The governor needs to keep his mouth shut for the next few days. Yeah. So we can just coast into the weekend. Coast into Saturday.
Do your wild thing. You do your wild thing, Arizona.
That's right.
And just hold out.
Be Arizona. Look, we're having people wear masks. We're having people be socially distant. We're doing our part to get this thing done to celebrate 30 years of the Navajo Warrior. It's not NAV 31. Okay, we're not doing it in February. It's NAV 30. We're doing it in November. I got other plans in February. I already had changed plans in May and August. Now I got plans for November and I got plans for February, and we're sticking with our plans. Because they're plans. And if the state of Arizona pops up with a gavel and looks me in the eye and says,
I'm afraid I've got some bad news,
I'm going to look you right back in the eye, Doug Ducey, and I'm going to say,
bullshit, 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 bullshit.
And I'm going to run my show anyway. Unless the venue says no, because then I had no control. But the show is going on, and I'm super excited. But yes, it is sold out. Every ticket has been sold, far surpassed any pre-sales of any other events. I am so excited. To anyone who purchased a ticket, to anyone who shared a social media post, anyone who told a friend, to anyone who said, don't go to them, they suck, and someone was like, no, they don't, I'll buy a ticket, and you bought a ticket. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a part of it, and I can't tell you how appreciative we are, how excited I am. And now it's just about the show. We're going to make it happen. We're going to continue to post. We're going to continue to grow and develop. And we're going to have a great show on Saturday and get everybody ready for Monster 2.0 in February. So come on out. Have a great time. Enjoy yourself. Be safe about it. And let's do this here in the next few days. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday when it releases, it's only a couple days away on Saturday. If you're listening to it a different day, it's still on Saturday. If you're listening to it after Saturday, it was a damn good time. Miranda, let's sell some shirts.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Yes, it is time for you, yes, I mean you, to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. You!
You went full Hogan there. Make Patrick go down happy.
You. Yes. You need to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own chair shot t-shirt. All of the shirts there are in support of thechairshot.com. There are different styles, different logos, different colors that you can choose from because this is America. And we give you the choice of your shirt because that's how we do it. And there are some awesome t-shirt designs that you can choose from.
What country is this?
America. America,
fuck yeah. Okay, continue.
But yes, there's some great designs that you can choose from, including Chairshot Worldwide, hashtag journalism, suck it nerds, in case, hey, you just want to rub it in someone's face. Baron Corbin sucks now, then, forever. Still sucks, and the t-shirt's still there for you to shoot to get. So highly recommended. Of course, the unofficial official t-shirt of one Mr. Patrick O'Dowd, hashtag save tag team wrestling. But there's also some other t-shirts there in support of some of the podcasts from the Chairshot Radio Network, including A Winner Is You, Bandwagon Nerds, Plat Velaz, and the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt. All are available. T-shirts start at $19.99, but if you want to spend a few extra dollars, you can do so, and that means you can get it in soft style. Treat yourself. So make sure you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. I believe there is going to be a sale on prowrestlingtees.com coming up very soon. It's going to be a whole week. Lots of stuff on sale, including t-shirts that will be 20% off. So make sure you go and check out prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Yeah, starts Monday, November 24th. The sale, I think it's, depending on how much you buy, you can save up to 40%. So yeah, it's a big deal. Black Friday sale for Pro Wrestling Tees. Lots of good stuff coming. Their ads will be coming out for that soon. So, yeah, man.
Yes, yes. And apparently no coupons needed. So 20% off most of the merch. Other tiers of stuff, nobody cares. You just got to care about going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That's what you got to care about.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, folks. PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
A conversation that is not new in the world of professional wrestling is that of unionization. Many fans have long been calling for unionization of wrestlers to address topics such as healthcare, travel conditions, personal cost compensation, contractual negotiations, and of course, the all too infamous independent contractor status. The most recent spike in this conversation came from WWE forcing their talent off of third-party entertainment ventures such as Cameo, and most importantly, Twitch. Zelina Vega was most recently released from her WWE contract in a situation where she reportedly chose Twitch over WWE when given the ultimatum. She also opened an OnlyFans account under a fake alias after she was initially leaving Twitch at the behest of WWE. At the time of her release, she tweeted in support of unionization, and many fans followed her support of that concept. Now, the major topic here is unionization, but I also envision we will give some perspective on Zelina Vega and the Twitch situation in general. However, let's start with thoughts on unionization, on pro wrestling in general. Patrick O'Dowd We'll start before. So it's funny because all three of us definitely have different levels of experience with unions and unionization. We haven't really fully even talked about it. I know more about Patrick just because we've lived it, worked for the same place, and then I hear about it. But it's we definitely have a different perspective, so it'll be interesting. But Patrick O'Dowd, your thoughts on unionization in the world of pro wrestling?
Generally, I'm in favor of unionization for pro wrestling in general. And I think it's important to delineate that because there will be a cost. You kind of rattled off when you led off this topic about a lot of like sort of the benefits and pros. And I'm generally a pro worker sort of person. And so when it comes to the concept of unionization, without going too far into what I'm sure we'll talk about later, I think that as a performer for the WWE, if you're not of a certain level, you hold no cards as a worker with that company. And that is where I think a level of union protection could help them. You know, if you're Randy Orton, you're not worried about unionization. But if you're Zelina Vega, it might make sense. And we can talk about that a little bit more. But yeah, for me, I'm a pro-union guy, and this is a guy who works with unions all the time and has been grieved more than once by the workers that are unionized underneath him and has struggled through all of that litigation repeatedly in my many years of experience. And at the end of the day, I would still say that I'm a pro-union guy.
Miranda, thoughts on, and it doesn't matter if pro or con, whether you're for it or not, just a general thoughts on the unionization of pro wrestlers.
Well, full transparency, we definitely have different levels of familiarity and experience and just association with unions because I do not have a whole lot of experience. But with that, I do believe in, and I think Patrick stated it nicely about the structure of pro wrestling, the way that these performers, these wrestlers are under contract. And this is specifically with WWE, but it also could apply to other promotions, is that they are not under a same type of contract or work agreement that you and I are under, that most people are under when they are employed. And so that too means that I think that there's a lot more at stake for them, in which they don't have a lot of the same protections as people who I think are traditionally employed with companies, even in entertainment. And even that whole structure, which I know we'll get into of unions and entertainment, is very well known. It's been around for a long time, but wrestling has been in some ways both sports and entertainment and neither sports and entertainment, because in each one of those realms, you do have unions, you do have protections, you do have structure. Whereas in pro wrestling, you don't, because it's been on its own island. So I feel like for the sake of having structure, protection, a voice, be a good fit or a good way so that people can just feel like they have more safety. They have a voice. And it's not all being controlled by just the top person or people, that there's more say from the actual wrestlers and performers in, you know, their contracts, what they're allowed to do.
So I guess spoiler alert, I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this issue so many times over the years. And I have been in support of the unionization for wrestlers. And I studied unions in college as a business major and worked within unions and was a union rep, which is the worst thing ever. I would never recommend doing that because your boss will immediately hate you the day you become that. That happened to me. That's real. But I've been in support of unions for wrestling for a long time, but the more and more I research, the more and more I learn, the more and more I realize it would be the absolute worst thing for, it would never work. And it would actually hurt more than it would help. And there's some other domino effects that we'll get into that I want to talk about, that I don't want to just throw out there right now in the topic. But I do want to talk a little bit more about the whole Zelina Vega and Twitch situation. Here's the thing about that. And a lot of information's come out. And you know how I am about wrestling news. I don't like to believe it. However, here's the deal with the Zelina Vega thing. I tend to believe some of the stuff that's come out about Zelina Vega because most wrestling news comes out through talent. And when talent gets released, they typically want to talk. So I tend to believe some of the Zelina Vega stuff. But I did the math, and she has over 15,000 Twitch subscribers. And a Twitch account, at minimum, is $5 per month. And if you do that math, that's $75,000 per month. Now, Twitch keeps 50% of that. So that means Zelina Vega would be getting $37,500 per month from being on Twitch. And in the course of a year, that's $450,000. There's a pretty good chance she wasn't making $450,000 on her WWE contract. She was rumored to have been in the 250 area, which is pretty much kind of the standard. It's like in the NFL, you got the veterans minimum and you got the minimum contract, that kind of thing. That's kind of what the 250 is in WWE. I know people love to talk about how, oh, this woman only made 80 grand a year. Don't believe that stuff. That's like an NXT deal, but in NXT, they get their travel expenses taken care of when they were on the road. But for WWE, most of the talent you see on television is making 250 grand a year or more to be there. And even if they're doing nothing, that's their downside guarantee. The Twitch thing is very, very interesting because it's about two things. It's about monetization and it's about intellectual property. And that's the deal. Like, it's so funny. Like, what, you know, when you listen to Paige and she's crying about Twitch, what is she crying about? She's crying about she wants to be accessible to her fans. She wants to have that interaction. She wants to have all that. Then turn off the monetization. Like, she never says she wants to do it to make money, but that's the reason why she can't do it, is because she wants to make money off of it. And it's kind of bad to me. Like, she's crying all this and trying to drum up that support. And I think there's some working in there because she could not monetize her Twitch. And she's still under contract with WWE. She's still getting paid to do nothing for WWE. She's still getting paid that at least 250 grand a year to do nothing for WWE. But she, you know, and you know, Mia Yim, same thing. Like, she's talked about wanting, she just wants to play games with her fans and turn off the monetization. But you don't want to because you're making a lot of money off of it. You can't be making money on the side when you're on WWE's payroll. It's in your contract. It's a contractual problem. And you're doing so with their intellectual property. And that's the bigger issue. When you're on Twitch as a WWE star, you're bringing over WWE fans to that platform who otherwise would not have been there if you weren't a WWE superstar. And that brings up a huge issue because now you got talents making money on the side, but you also have Twitch making a ton of money. Remember, Twitch takes 50%. So if Zelina Vega is making 450 grand a year on Twitch, Twitch is making 450 grand a year on Zelina Vega being a WWE superstar. That's not going to fly in WWE. That's not going to fly with any billion-dollar business that is making money off of WWE intellectual property without compensating them for it. And I don't think wrestlers even grasp and think about this when they're making these decisions and when they're pushing unionization. So I think it's weird. Like, Twitch has really brought this to light, but I think Twitch is, to me, and maybe I'm wrong, and you guys tell me if I am, I think Twitch is a much lower gripe than some of the other issues.
I think the name, image, and likeness thing is a very good distinction. I think what's interesting and what put us back and forth is this is a unique position where a side hustle is something that you can't really do.
No.
According to the WWE. And this is where I get into, like, there are other jobs where you can't do that, sure. But the idea of painting them as independent contractors, but then locking them into three-year contracts where they can make no other money any other way, like, yeah, the WWE's intellectual property of a character or whatever was created, but that person also still made the character, and they don't have a right to monetize that in any other way other than the way the WWE tells you to. And that's not necessarily true if you have something that allows you to have some bargaining power to have that be a part of your contract. But the WWE has, like, this is one of those examples where they have all the cards. They can unilaterally say this and sort of take it away and then make you work for it on the back end so that maybe, you know, if you're Xavier Woods or whatever, who, you know, has just Mr. Video Games.
Right.
Had, like, but the bargaining power isn't really in Woods's corner ever. Like, it's not an equal footing. And that's where, as a labor guy myself, like, that's where I'm a little hung up. Like, yeah, if you can't even do it without even taking your name, image, and likeness, like the own trademarks of the WWE off, that's where I think it's an overreach. And that's where I find it slightly problematic. I get, like, if I'm saying this is Zelina Vega's Twitch account, like, the Zelina Vega is a character created by the WWE, I'm still playing that character totally. You know, if you go by your shoot name and people know that, you know, you're the person who, like, you're the person who plays Zelina Vega, okay. Like, I don't know that the WWE can trademark a person's actual name.
They can't trademark the name, but if you're Zelina Vega and you're on Twitch as Thea Trinidad, why are people with you on Twitch? Are they with you on Twitch because you're Thea Trinidad, or are they with you on Twitch because you're Zelina Vega? Regardless of the name on your Twitch account.
But if you're not advertising yourself as Zelina Vega, if you're advertising yourself as Thea Trinidad, and I know.
But then does she ever post about it on her Twitter? That's the certified blue check mark Twitter with her WWE name. She ever posts about it on her Instagram, which is certified blue check mark Instagram with her WWE name.
You can do all that requesting a good blue check marked on Instagram and Twitter. You might not get approved, but you can, like, right, anybody.
But I'm
can
saying
do that.
Like, that's, but if her handle is her WWE name and she's promoting her Twitch, like, it's, there's just so many.
So your $1 billion company is out a few hundred, you know, less than $100,000 or whatever, to allow somebody to make some extra money on the side. When, what's the responsibility? You talked about travel and all this stuff. Is WWE covering that for every single performer all the time, everywhere they go?
No, not at all. That's a separate issue to me than Twitch, though. Like, that's where I have some support for it.
Of course, to take a chunk out of your income one way and you can't supplement it another way, that's underhanded to me. Sorry, Miranda, I cut you off. You were trying to talk. And I cut you off.
No, well, I was going to say, I mean, I do get both perspectives, because I was about to say, and Greg made a good point as far as the advertisement of the Twitch utilizing, you know, social media handles with the WWE name. But ultimately, you know, Zelina Vega and Thea Trinidad are the same person. It's almost like you're penalizing someone for being famous because they have a famous face. They're on TV. You know, people are watching her because she is on TV and it is a WWE product. But at the same time, if she is doing that within the framework of Thea Trinidad or whatever name she wants to use that WWE doesn't own, I do feel like that should be somewhat fair game. Or that if you want to utilize your WWE name to get those followers, then yeah, you have to pay us. If you don't, then, you know, and even if WWE had more skin in the game, that maybe could help promote that. Almost like, if you do this and if we help you promote it, then we get a cut, instead of penalizing people for just it does feel like it's penalizing them for pursuing outside ventures. And I do think that this is overall is very interesting, because of the fact that a lot of this has come to light because of the world that we live in COVID now. Prior to that, nobody had time to do their Twitch, you know, other, if you were really dedicated to do your Twitch or to do others, you know, types of accounts, you know, but now that we live in a world where now they're no longer traveling, and that's some way, even though they don't have that covered anymore, or they don't have to put that at expense, you know, that also means they're not in front of crowds all over the U.S. And so it does limit their visibility. That it is very interesting to me how this is developed because of the world that we live in now, that everything is virtual, everything is digital. And this will be the future. So I do feel like WWE's response is just in response to where the world is going into a virtual environment. But I feel like, yes, if someone wanted to use their WWE name and promote it through WWE, I could see WWE probably getting a cut and almost incentivizing people to help with their followers and help with their growth. But at the same time, if someone decides to use their personal or whatever name they choose, I don't see how that should be WWE's business. Even though they made them famous, they could be famous however, you know, but I just don't feel like WWE's, it is in their place to step in and take over or limit people's abilities to what they can and cannot do.
The other issue you run into is what's in their contract. And the problem is, right, is that the intellectual property is in the contract.
I don't know if we're gonna bring it up. I don't know if we break into the additional aspect of this outside of the Twitch into some other social media account.
Maybe. I don't know. But I think the issue you run into here is the contract, right? They signed a contract, and this is where Patrick and I kind of started going back and forth on social media. And that's the issue that I run into is that WWE, first of all, they could sign people to less profitable, non-exclusive deals that allows them to pursue outside ventures like Impact Wrestling does, like AEW does for some of their talent. They choose not to, as not profitable for WWE. Now, they had that for some of the 205 Live talent as well as a lot of the NXT UK talent, and they ended up doing away with it because people were working outside of WWE and getting hurt. Now, if you get hurt on Twitch, I mean, I don't know how the hell that happens, but
I injured my hand playing video, like, right, carpal tunnel.
But it's, you know, this type of contract, you have a lower downside guarantee, you get less merch, you get less royalties, but you also have lesser restrictions, but your deal's going to be significantly lower. And the WWE, and not only that, if you're WWE and you've got one talent under a non-exclusive deal, another talent under an exclusive deal, who are you going to push? Right? You're going to push the exclusive talent.
You're going to push the exclusive person, 100%. Yeah.
The problem, the problem that I have, and this is where Patrick and I decided to save for the podcast and social media, they signed the contract.
Right.
Knowingly and willingly entered an agreement with WWE. They signed the contract.
I think the thing that, where what I said, what I tweeted was the concept, the WWE likes to push the concept of independent contractor when they talk about you signed the contract, but it's really not, the performer's not really an independent contractor in the sense that they're like, yeah, you're an independent contractor, but for 3 years, you're, you know, property of the WWE. That's, and so it's to me, it's just a disingenuous thing. And I can't remember who said it on which of our other podcasts. And I feel bad. I think it was on Outsider's Edge. Hey, but, and so I will own that I kind of ripped this, but this is something that I think we know is true. The WWE pulls the independent contractor thing out as its sort of defense of treatment of workers when it's convenient for them to do so, before then turning them to, we own you, you're an employee, you are locked into everything we say and do. And so it's, to me, it's not so much what the contract, like, yeah, I signed a contract and I agreed to it. But let's call it what it is. You're an employee of the WWE. You're not an independent contractor. You can't go work elsewhere. Like, right, even to get released, right, you have to request a release from your contract, and they will choose to either say yes or no. And we've seen it where they've held people who wanted out because the WWE knew their value elsewhere, even though they had no real intent to use them.
But every one of those, right, provisions you mentioned is in their contract. Like, they signed a contract that defines what an independent contractor is. Like, that's the thing. Everything you said is true. But they do call it that, and the talent signs on the dotted line saying they agree with it. But then they go out later and complain saying they don't. And here's my problem. How many of these talents sign these contracts without having a lawyer read them and explain it to them? Because this is their dream, and they're basically sacrificing what they should be entitled to for their dream. But they're doing it.
And I guess there's a lot of assumptions made there about just, I get what you're saying, Greg. Yes, they are signing a contract, all that language and stuff. I don't give a shit about that part. The WWE calling it an independent contractor contract is laughable. And if this was any other business, like, and that's the thing is, you look like if another business or company ran with this philosophy, and this is where it comes down to, like, they use the independent contractor mm-hmm. argument to keep them from giving health insurance benefits to the wrestlers. Like, that's on their own for the most part. So in a high risk business where you have a high risk of injury, and it's not that the WWE won't take care of somebody when they're injured. I won't go that far. Like, they will put you in there,
oh, yeah.
But you're not necessarily all expenses paid. If you're hurt, you know, you're not exactly, you know, ultimately completely cared for. And yeah, the WWE might cover you, but this is also a trickle down thing to other parts of the industry, like other companies as well. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about the WWE, you know, and we're looking like AEW, Impact, like all the way down. Like,
same thing.
There is, what's that? It's
all the same stuff. They all do the same.
It's thing. All the same stuff, but it's at and it becomes at such a lower scale that it becomes a little bit more difficult to kind of manage and move forward.
Yeah. Now, Impact, so, most of their people can wrestle outside of Impact because they're,
right.
But they're also paying them a sliver of what WWE is paying their talent.
Right. And so the other thing that I completely agree with you is, and this is why this won't happen, is because of what you talked about before, is that if wrestlers were to actually unionize and the WWE was to be like, okay, you can join SAG or you can, you know, you can unionize and we'll let you have that and you can be considered employees of the WWE, your contracts are going down. Your pay is going to drop because the other thing that comes with union is additional costs on the employer. Mm-hmm. Because now the employer has to cover things like insurance. The employer has to cover things like, you know, whatever benefits that may come with being a part of that union. And so I mentioned this before we went on the show. First 30 minutes of 83 Weeks was really, really interesting this week because Eric Bischoff talked about that. And he mentioned, he's like, there is a side to unionizing that the talent doesn't pay attention to. That there is a downside to this. And what really has to happen for talent to have this go the way that they would want it to go is they'd have to be willing as a unit to take a pay cut.
Mm-hmm. That means AJ Styles, and, who makes $1 million a year, won't make $1 million a year anymore. Randy Orton, who makes $2 million a year and has a private jet that the company pays for, that they charter for him to fly on, it's part of his deal, that he negotiated without union representation, because he's Randy Orton and he can do that. And I bet other talent gets, Big Show had a bus. I think CM Punk had a bus.
Yeah.
Like CM Punk, huge proponent, anti-WWE, got a bus. And that WWE paid for a driver. Like, these things do happen when you're at that level. Those guys aren't going to give that up. They're not going to. And then you're going to have talent issues with people who are willing to sign with the union, aren't willing to sign with the union. The union doesn't benefit the high level talent. It benefits the low level talent. And yeah, and it would mm-hmm. it's just, and it's like, it's not a magical wand. It really isn't. Like, all the things that you would need to negotiate are going to cost money. Chris Harrington, who now works for AEW in their business area, once put out an article about the union. Is, I believe it was Chris Harrington. If somebody else, I apologize. And he estimated what it would cost WWE if they provided benefits and travel, better travel to their wrestlers. And it wasn't that much. They'd still be a vastly profitable organization if they did this. I can tell you that, just to clarify, because everyone says different things, WWE pays for travel. They pay for a talent to fly into TV. They pay for the hotel when a talent is at TV. This also applies to agents, by the way. Agents are independent contractors as well. Producers, independent contractors. Most people who work there are independent contractors. By the way, everyone's beloved AEW, outside of Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Christopher Daniels, and a couple of the referees who have other jobs within the organization and are actual employees of the organization, they don't have healthcare either. And when Cody Rhodes, back when AEW started, said, we're giving people healthcare, and then he walked it back, he wasn't really walking it back. It's because when he spoke, he didn't know what he was talking about. Because Cody Rhodes never had a job that gives him healthcare. Because Cody Rhodes was born in the wrestling business. Cody Rhodes has never had a job where I remember my first job out of college, they were like, you get to sign up for your benefits. You're all excited. I get to sign up for my benefits. He's never had that. What he was talking about was if somebody gets hurt, they're going to take care of it, just like WWE does. WWE is going to still pay your downside. They're going to pay for your surgery. They're going to pay for your rehab. They're going to pay for all that stuff. They even pay for transportation involved with it. Like, they do cover those things. AEW will pay to fly you in, and they usually have buses that take you from the hotel to the venue. Now, AEW doesn't have house shows. WWE, they fly you in a TV, they put you in the hotel, then you're on your own for the house show stuff. You got to rent a car, you got to get a hotel, all that. Now, all that's tax deductible, all that is taken care of there. And that's an area they can improve upon, yes. But I don't know if unionization is the way to go. Do I think WWE should do those things? Absolutely. I think WWE's talent should be employees. They should have healthcare benefits. They should have access to a pension plan. They should have either reimbursement for their road expenses or those things provided for them. I do honestly believe all of those things.
This is me asking a question because I don't know the answer, but mm-hmm. because you always hear stories. Retirement, though, or like life after wrestling.
Mm-hmm. What about that,
you're just on your own, right? Like, you've had to have saved your money, or
right now,
you
yeah.
know, you get your, or you get your Legends contract and stuff like that's
the Legends contract, which is like a year.
Yeah. Pension,
I mean, I would assume that it probably is on your own. You've had to, you know, go out and venture to your own financial planner, set up your own 401k, and you've just been investing / saving in it. I don't know what a WWE contract looked like, but, you know, it's probably nothing. You know, they're not
doing that.
Jump into the mind of a 20 something.
Right.
When it comes to, particularly, you know, Greg, you talked about getting my dream. Like, I remember, you know, even my first round of benefits, like you get, like, we had the benefit of here are these retirement plans that you can like jump in on, you know, do you want to be aggressive, whatever. And, you know, it's all based on the stock market, and which is a stupid way to do retirement, by the way. And at the end of the day, like you just kind of did it and you forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't have that set up, you hear it about it all the time. You know, they're fine. People don't know money management. Normal people don't know how to manage their money. And we don't even make a lot of money. Like, and these are people getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, and there's no direction. And I'm not saying that's the fault of the WWE. But I do think as an employer, and this is me in liberal Massachusetts, there's a responsibility on the employer to at least provide them with the tools to manage that. And again, I don't know. Maybe there's financial education at the performance center. They sit down with a guy from H&R Block. Who knows? I don't know.
I was going to say, Ted DiBiase comes in on Thursday to do financial planning promos.
No, he's an integration.
That's the thing. Like, WWE does do financial planning courses with their talent. That's been talked about before. Do the talent pay attention? Do the talent take notes? Do the talent follow some of that advice? Some of them might. Mick Foley used to save all his money on the road. Owen Hart was famous for being cheap on the road. Triple H was doing that, and now he's one of the people running the company. Like, not everybody did all of that. Like, that's, you know, the people understand, and they've listened to some of the advice given, and that advice is out there for them. Not everybody's making what, you know, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, whoever makes. Like, it's even, you know, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, when they were in WWE, they were making $750,000 a year. That's why they were so expendable come release time, because that was $1.5 million right there saved when they got released. They never complained about unionization. Like, that's the other thing. Sometimes I wonder if everyone outside the company wants this way more than everyone inside the company. Like, I don't hear a ton of people begging for this. We see it and we're like, it's not right. But we also look at our lives and what's provided to us on our salaries that are far lower than your average WWE contract. So if somebody making $250,000 to $400,000 a year and more gets sick, they can go drop the payment at the doctor's office a lot easier than we would if we had to pay full price every time we went to the doctor's office. So there's a lot of those issues as well. But
Right. I also think that we make a lot of assumptions about what how far a low end contract can take you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do think that yes, $250,000, since that's the number we've been tossing around a lot.
Right.
That's a lot of money. Like that's well over what I make. There's other pieces of that, whether it's, you know, and you talked about tax deductible and all that. Sure. That is still costly life.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's still a costly life. And it does take a lot of work to manage. And like I said, I think that you really did hit on something there, Greg, at the end about does the majority of the locker room of talent at the WWE really want this?
I think
I agree with you. I don't think it is.
I think they'd like the healthcare. I think they'd like the travel. I do. I think they'd like to be considered employees. I do. And mm-hmm. I think WWE should do that. If I were there, I'd recommend it.
It just seems like that's the only way. As far as maybe unionization wouldn't be necessarily the end all be all, but it just seems like that's the only way these types of changes are going to happen, because there really isn't anyone within the company. You know, it's almost like there's no wrestling president. If we're going back to a few weeks ago,
right,
who's going to come in and make these sweeping changes? That it all has to come internally from the company, and that's not going to happen. So when you do get that external pressure, then you know, maybe that's the change that happened. So maybe that, and I think as socially, the biggest way that we associate change, at least in employment terms, is through unions. Maybe not a permanent union, but maybe there had some type of swooping group or change that comes in to make change are necessary. In more just short term than long term, but I think that that's, you know, what.
Oh,
we need a union to negotiate Miranda's internet connection. That's what we need.
Right, I'll hear that.
She dropped off.
Here's the last thing that people need to consider: if talent goes union, you have to pay into that union.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the other piece of it. Like,
and then you're
union
stuck
gets
with
cut.
Whatever they negotiate.
Right.
You're stuck with
exactly.
Whatever
so,
it is. I remember.
And some on a shitty end of a negotiation deal.
When we worked at the University of Connecticut, you had two options. You were a union member or you were a fee-paying non-member. You still had to pay union right. dues no matter what. Right. They came out of your check.
And the argument for why you had to do that was because you still – they couldn't deny you the benefits that came with the contract that was created and – bargained by the union. So even if you weren't going to vote and you weren't going to participate, you still got X, Y, and Z benefit because it was part of your contract too.
Here's the other thing. And I really wish, and now she's coming back. So that's good. So Miranda's back. Cause I have a question for you, Miranda. So I'm glad that you're back. Hopefully you can hear me. Over the past month and you're about to hit wrestling shows number 3 and 4 for you this weekend over the past month. It's great to be back, right? It's great to be back and ring announcing and interviewing and all that stuff. Would you be willing to give all that up so that wrestlers could unionize?
Would I be given?
Would you be willing to never do any of that?
I mean
again?
To
so that a WWE wrestler
to
can
never
be part
do
of
any
union.
Of that again for a wrestler.
Yeah. Because here's why. The indies would be dead almost immediately. Because if wrestlers unionize, wrestlers are unionized. And I could never run an indie show again if wrestlers are unionized. Because I could never meet the things that the union's going to want. It's a cash business outside of most of the companies.
Well, I think it just depends. Like, I don't know if wrestling would have its own union. You know, like, I guess that, and that's a whole other point of conversation. I think that if it does happen, it would need to happen within WWE, because I think that's where the big point of contention is, unless there's you know, I see what you mean by it. If there was a wrestling union, because, you know, of all of the challenges it would face on the independent scene, but you know, it also then, you know, no one would be able to go out there. No one would be mm-hmm. able to perform. No one would be able to practice. So, and I just don't see how a union would almost let that happen.
But
so back up the truck a sec, because
mm-hmm.
one of the things that I will talk about is, and like, I will compare this to Major League Baseball, the Major League Baseball Players Association, those players within that organization, minor leagues and their branches are unionized. Outside of that, like a semi-pro, like not connected to whatever, they're not. So it's a little bit different. I do think SAG, the SAG argument, I think people are making, that puts indies in real danger. Because then, yeah, I got my SAG card. You got to do this. You got to pay me scale. Right.
But does that – I don't know who can get a SAG card. Do you have to – like SAG might be the answer depending on is it televised? So is it like the level of production?
SAG,
I don't know.
If SAG is willing to take them on, then it'll happen. Because right now what you have to do is you have to apply for it, and you have to, like you were talking about, you have to apply for a SAG card. You have to get X number of credits in whatever film project or number of projects to get it. Somebody talked about it. I think it might have been Kazarian tweeted about it, or somebody did, where they missed their opportunity at it and then had to wait like 6 years mm-hmm. before they were able to get enough credits to then get their SAG card. And that's when they start. That's how they get their benefits. And then even once you get it, you have to do certain things to maintain it.
Right.
So it's not just like you have it and you're in the club forever.
Yeah. Tiger Woods had a SAG card. I remember like Tiger Woods had a SAG card and because golf wasn't giving health benefits, but Tiger Woods got them through SAG. And that's why I think that could potentially be an answer. I just, it would.
Then you're in danger because then you got to pay scale.
Exactly. And who defines what scale is, and that's the thing. Like indie wrestling would never be the same, or the level of talent available to you as an indie wrestling promoter might never be the same again. And because once somebody gets any notoriety, they might join something, and then they're no longer going to be available to you. Like, or wrestling's going to become, I want to be a wrestler, so I try out for the Performance Center and go the route that way to become a WWE superstar. And or I go through Ring of Honor's dojo or the Nightmare Factory for AEW, and it becomes more siloed in that way. You know, and I don't know the international implications. I can't speak to how things are in Japan or New Japan or anywhere else. Like, I have no idea. I barely know what it's like here. But I think that the WWE can do more for its performers. I don't think they should have to unionize to get it. But I can't control WWE. I can't control. They hate, and you've heard if you listen to Bruce Pritchard, they can't stand dealing with agents. Like they hate when a talent gets an agent and they're, you know, harsh in negotiations with an agent. Imagine what they'd be like with a union. SAG already hates WWE, so I can imagine how those negotiations would go. Like, that's the problem. The relationship is already adversarial. It's adversarial by nature. It's already adversarial before it's ever even started because of the history WWE has and the way that these people have felt about them. And it's I don't know, they could really come from a good, solid place. And
the
demonizing
of the WWE is unfair.
The what?
The complete demonization of the WWE as the only entity that is not the best for its workers is unfair. Like, that they're the ones being propped up right now because of the Zelina Vega thing. That's hypocritical.
Yeah, it's and Zelina Vega's a one-off. I mean, she was making more money on Twitch than she was making in WWE. How many people really had that, you know? And imagine Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, AEW, and all that. And here's the other thing. Everyone loves to tout Andrew Yang. I doubt Andrew Yang really cares about independent wrestling. He cares about WWE and Vince McMahon, and that's who everybody goes after. Sometimes they'll be mad at AEW or Impact Wrestling and still bring up Vince McMahon because they don't realize the difference. So, because Vince McMahon is still wrestling to most people outside of wrestling. To me, I don't think unions are the answer, but to me, I also do acknowledge that I think something needs to change and something needs to be better. And I do think it's, you know, and I don't think it's going to happen because everyone's still willing to sign these contracts. And It would take a big name talent, a Roman Reigns, a Randy Orton, and AJ Styles. Kevin Owens, he makes at least $1 million a year. I think he's at 1.5 to do something. And probably, I think AJ and Kevin Owens, they'd be like, bye. It would take a Roman Reigns or Randy Orton, or maybe at some point sooner, Drew McIntyre, for real change to happen. And why are those guys going to sacrifice and risk those paychecks? I just don't know. I just don't know. All right, we could talk about this for hours, but that would become less entertaining.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Lucha-masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Masked Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
I have often said that winning one world title in WWE doesn't put you into any special stratosphere in terms of a career. Names like the Great Khali, Jack Swagger, and Jinder Mahal have all been a world champion in WWE. But winning multiple world titles in WWE shows that there is a belief in you from the company standpoint. Drew McIntyre is now a two-time WWE champion. Miranda, we'll let you go first. What does this tell you?
Well, it tells me, I don't know. I don't know if it tells me anything new, though. And I think it's because who Drew has beaten for both of these titles. He beat Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton for, you know, these two championships. So it already shows that they are investing in him, that they believe that he is the future, that they believe that, you know, he is someone long term that can help carry the company through this new time frame or period of the WWE, especially Monday Night Raw. So to be honest, this win it only confirms it. It solidifies it, but it feels like it's stuff I already knew, that they think he's a big deal and that he's the person they're hedging their bets on.
I'm going to get nitpicky and play semantics. It's things you already thought and believed. I don't think you had any basis to know until they did this. Because if they never gave it to him again, then what you thought and believed may not have been right. And this is how WWE shows us, yep, you were right. You, what you thought and believed was right. We do believe in this guy because we gave the belt back to him and we didn't have to. Patrick Riddell, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, to just kind of piggyback off of this is that it just reaffirms something that was said back when this man started with the company before his brief absence. And, you know, Vince McMahon, who called him the future on television, and then they didn't book him like he was the future, right, on television, because they didn't see him as ready yet.
Well, that's a kiss of death. When they do that to you, you're screwed. Like Drew himself even said, right, that was the worst thing possible for him, and he wasn't ready, yep, for it. Look at Curtis Axel.
He was touted,
it was over.
But when they brought him back and doubling down on him, to me, it does show that they never really gave up on him.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I don't think Randy Orton beating him is giving up on him at all.
Right. And then to beat both Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton in a calendar year, not very many people can say that they've done that.
Yeah. Remember, John Cena's last title reign was 3 weeks long. He beat AJ Styles, right, at Royal Rumble and then lost it at Elimination Chamber. Randy Orton's 14th, kind of the same thing. Wins it in Hell in a Cell, lose it a few weeks later on Raw. Some of this could just be puffing up Orton's title numbers. to get him to a certain point. Like, that's, the title's a prop. WWE has, now it's an important prop. It's one of the most important props they have. The most important prop used to be the Money in the Bank briefcase. Not necessarily the same way anymore, but that's fixable. Really cool aspect of this. If you go back and you watch the footage that I watched and the videos that are out there, when McIntyre pins Randy Orton, when the referee's hand hits three and that bell rings, you see Randy Orton smack Drew McIntyre on the butt, like twice. And it's kind of Orton's way of being like, this is it, kid. Like, this is, you're the guy. Like, this is Orton's way of doing this. We all thought, I think all three of us thought he was dead. There's some sentiment out there. There's podcasters here at Chairshot Radio Network who said they didn't think McIntyre would ever win the title again. That WWE taking it off of him was a sign. I disagreed, and I think we're being proven right. But I think McIntyre is entering that company of the Randy Ortons, the Roman Reigns, the John Cenas. He's not there yet, but he's now been given the ability to get there. They've basically said, okay, now you have a chance. What's that?
He's on the trajectory.
Yeah.
He's edge on the rise.
Yeah.
Not Edge's first title, but his second title.
Exactly.
That's kind of what I'm
right now. Yeah. And Drew did a great job as champion. We all talked about that on multiple shows. And I think that he'll continue to do so. And I'm glad to see it. I thought they were teasing the Roman Drew thing, you know, for WrestleMania. And instead they're doing it at Survivor Series. Like, they went with it was so obvious, a lot of us thought it wasn't going to happen. Like, we're like, hey, this is too obvious, they're not going to do that. And then they did it. So that's, we should have known better. So Drew McIntyre, two-time WWE champion. He is officially now a WWE megastar. And you know what? I think he deserves it. I think he's there. I think he's a great talent. I think he's earned it. I don't think he was ready the first time. I think he came back ready. And I'm glad that they identified that. And I'm glad that they have gone with it. Patrick O'Dowd, you already told us what we can expect this week on Bandwagon Nerds. It's available at thechairshot.com. What is the nerd review this week?
I told Dave we needed to get away from these depressing horror movies during this pandemic. And so we are going to review Disney's Marvel flick, Big Hero 6.
Ooh.
For the nerd review. And Ray Cash was so excited. He might actually come through this time and give us a write-up as well. So it could be three nerds this week.
There you go. I dig it.
Yeah.
I definitely do dig it. Miranda Morales, everybody can listen to you on your very own The Hashtag Miranda Show. What can everybody, including me, I don't know, expect from this week's edition of The Hashtag Miranda Show?
Well, this is a very busy weekend, not only on the local scene, but this Sunday is Survivor Series. So we are going to be doing a review / predictions of the Survivor Series matchups, trying to see who we think is going to win. You have the world championships on the, well, world champions against each other, tag champs against each other. Of course, the legendary team versus teams, women's champs, and all that. We're just going to be talking and doing our predictions.
All right. Excellent. Well, look forward to that. Of course, you can find that at thechairshot.com and all of your favorite streaming platforms. Like, subscribe, give us that 5-star review or a 1-star review. Just don't be a middler. Patrick O'Dowd doesn't want to see that. Speaking of Patrick O'Dowd, follow him on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist, WrestlingRealist. Miranda Morales is not on Twitter. She's a Twitterless heroine. You can follow her on Instagram at @the_Miranda. I am at Chairshot Greg. The website is thechairshot.com. You can find it at Chairshot Media.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Check out the articles. Check out the amazing podcast. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, that means on Thursday you've got the Hashtag Miranda Show coming. You've got Badlands coming. You've got Pod is War coming. You got so many more. So check those out. Enjoy them. They're going to be a lot of fun. Until then, I want to deeply apologize to Jinder Mahal for what I said about him earlier. That's my bad, Jinder. I'm still a Jinder Mahal guy, and I always will be. For Patrick O'Dowd, for Miranda Morales, I'm Greg DeMarco, reminding you to always use your head and know that you can never hinder Jinder.
Yeah. Huh.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.